Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Simate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Gauravani Srimurtaye Dinatarane Rupanuga Varudhapa. Wait. Namaste Gauravani. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Pastyatya Deshatarane Nama Shrestham Manumapi Satchi Putram Atra Sarupam Rupam Tasya Grajam Uruparim Matara Gostavatim Radha Kundam Girivaram Maho Radhika Madhavasam Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripya Tam Natosti Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, area code 848 has to mute their phone. Okay. Well, I feel very grateful to all of you for giving me the opportunity to speak to about our Guru Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada is the Siksha Guru of everyone. And it's such a great opportunity to have to glorify him. I remember when I was in Dallas, Texas, and Prabhupada came and Prabhupada asked for questions. If I have remembrances of Prabhupada, I just write them down. Prabhupada asked for questions, and one godbrother, very tall, wonderful devotee, so dedicated to Prabhupada, Ganagamya Prabhu, he passed away recently. He said, how can we repay you? And the answer was, just remained obliged. You know, I read in one commentary, it was a Bhagavatam verse or something, that the first budding symptoms of the pure soul differentiated from what's coming from the mind and the false ego are these core spiritual qualities of gratitude and compassion and humility and this mood of service. So it's a great opportunity, and somehow or other, you know, just around the time that this pandemic has grounded us and restricted us from the type of association we had previously, this technology became prominent where you know, in a kind of very personal way, I can speak and I could see you and you could respond. Now, I'll probably give my own type of remembrances with philosophical import. That's what I like to do. I think the stories are nice, but I think there has to be also the philosophy. And I did want to mention something in terms of that concept of our relationship with Prabhupada. I described once, it's my own analogy of Guru Tattva. Spiritual master is, there's something in between us and something else that makes that thing clearer. And the example would be, is glasses. There's an object, there's your eyes, but there's glasses. But not just any glasses, they're a prescription. They're glasses that fit your eyes to make your vision more clear. And that's the same thing with a spiritual master. And even our relationship with Prabhupada, etc. It's not something in between that obscures, it's something in between that makes more focused. But again, in this analogy that I kind of thought up, is just as the spiritual master, he's not the spiritual master of everyone. He's the prescription for certain people. But the unique aspect of Prabhupada, he is the medium, the prescription, practically for people of this age to see clearly, and certainly for all of us. So Prabhupada is our prominent acharya. So I'm initiated by Prabhupada, but this is all of our day. And I once read a article on Guru Tattva written by this lady from Chicago. Very brilliant. I even showed it to Pradyumna, Prabhupada's Sanskrit edit. He said it was brilliant. She described an initiation like, you know, connecting. You put in the plug. But once you connect, the energy flows and there's other sockets where you can also take that energy once it's connected. So I feel once you are sincerely surrendered and connected and committed, then everyone has that access to Prabhupada and everyone has the ability to develop that personal relationship with him. And everyone has the ability to develop to a degree that it becomes prominent in their lives. Because we have to remember that just like Krishna, we don't think Krishna is gone. He's as present as he always was. And it says in the Bhakti Sandarbha, that's the same thing with great spiritual personalities. They're eternal. So we still have, we pray to Rupa Goswami, we pray to Krishna, we pray to Sri Radha, and we can pray to Prabhupada in a very personal way, and he can respond. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote that poem, "He reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die, for Vaishnavas die to live, and living spread the holy name around." He reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die. And on these appearance days, there is the ability to actually have special connection. If we put Srila Prabhupada in our prayers. So I took some notes, and from those notes, I will speak spontaneously. And again, I like to make sure that we have the philosophical import, and then there'll be also stories. After Prabhupada disappeared, I was there in Vrindavan, and then 11 days after Prabhupada disappeared, they had the festival. And it's a very nice concept that there's great separation and you should feel pain, but the pain is in the separation, not for the person's tragedy that's passing away, because Nitya Lila Pravishta, he's entered into Nitya Lila Pravishta, entered into the eternal pastimes of Krishna. So, but you can't celebrate initially because of the feelings of separation. So after 11 days, they had a big festival in Vrindavan. And I remember this specifically. I was walking up the steps and Jayapataka Swami was walking down the steps. And he said enthusiastically, he just got off the phone with, of course, Jayapataka Maharaj is one of the most senior Vaishnavas, exalted Vaishnavas, disciple of Prabhupada. He got off the phone with Bhakti Rakshaka Sridhar Maharaj, who is Prabhupada's godbrother. And he said, Sridhar Maharaj said that Prabhupada was a Shaktivesh avatar, maybe for preaching. And there's a concept of incarnation called Shaktivesh, where a personality is invested with God's potency. And even though he's not God, he is a jivatma, a living entity. He does the work of God as if God did that work. Vedavyas is not necessarily God, it's a post. But he's a Shaktivesh avatar for editing the Vedas. Prithu Maharaj is a living entity, but he's a Shaktivesh avatar for being a king and ruling. So I really like that concept. And when I thought about it, what Jayapataka Maharaj said, when I thought about it, I thought of Prabhupada standing when he came to America and he got off the boat. He was on the East Coast and he was facing the whole United States of America, which was an insane, industrial, passionate place that no one in India could even imagine. In other words, it's the force of materialism. And Prabhupada is standing there and figuring out what he can do. And I'll make two points here. One, Prabhupada's Leela of spreading Krishna consciousness, it couldn't be any better if it was Lord Chaitanya himself. Lord Chaitanya liberating all the animals in Jharkhand forest cannot supersede Prabhupada's spreading Krishna consciousness in America with who he had to spread it. That initial film that they took of the devotees on Second Avenue. And then I think it was Achyutananda said, well, you know, some people are low on a high level and we're high on a low level, you know, we're low on a high level. And then it flashes to an interview with Professor anyway, there was a professor, very saintly, nice man who, you know, was studying religion and visited the East Side and was just shocked that there was this orthodox, you know, it wasn't just what came from the New Age type of impersonalism that came from India, but it was this orthodox thing. And so he was being interviewed about his remembrance. And then Chaitananda said, you know, some people are high on a low level. And And then you say, and then one a little clip from it, and they didn't know what they were talking about. And then Kirtanananda says, "We're all gopis," and it just, and from that, Prabhupada spreads Krishna consciousness and the Leela could not be any more dynamic than Lord Chaitanya, Shaktivesh Avatar. And also when Prabhupada's standing on the shore of the ocean and you see his consciousness because he writes these prayers, he just says, how is it possible for me to be successful in my mission? Which he was. He said, you know, I'm an insignificant beggar. But if you want, you can make me dance, make me dance, make me dance. And then he started quoting the Bhagavatam and those verses in the Bhagavatam that show Srinvata Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hidyantasto, that by the holy name of Krishna and by the Krishna Kata, then Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, all that's inauspicious can be destroyed. All that's inauspicious can be destroyed. Vidyate Ridya Grantis, and that knot of false ego can be destroyed. Evam Prasanna Manaso, and you can become enlivened. So Prabhupada had that faith. Actually, more than anything else, the quality that made Prabhupada successful was his faith. Bhakti Vikas Swami tells a story that when Prabhupada came back from America successful, he's in his room in Calcutta and you know people are surrounding him and he's almost thinking out loud to himself, how was I the successful one? How was I the successful one? Because Prabhupada's godbrothers, they were like an all-star team. They were the creme de la creme of society, of young people. And I read several books on who they were. You know, there was Bhakti Dayata Madhav Maharaj opened up 60 temples. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta called them the infatigable incarnation of preaching. I met him once. And then there was Ananta Vasudev. Bhakti Siddhanta could speak in such an erudite way, and if he had to go, he can continue the lecture in the same way. And what to speak of Bhakti Rakshaka Sridhar Maharaj and Keshav Maharaj, and you can go on and on. And they were from powerful Brahmin families. They were Mukherjis and Chakravartis and sometimes some Kshatriyas. Prabhupada's from a mercantile family. So these people were so learned. What was his name? Kunji Bihari. He's the one that took Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati from Mayapur, where he was just chanting 1 billion names of Krishna, and took him out to preach. And he's the one that organized the preaching movement. And one time the sannyasis, they complained about him because he seemed to be such a controller. And Bhakti Siddhanta told those sannyasis, you could all leave. And when they built the Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math, the white marble jewel in Calcutta, Bhakti Siddhanta had an inscription to him that he is, you know, Kunji is the lady, was Bhakti Vilas Tirtha. He is the foundation, he is this, he's the foundation, like this. And so they were all very capable. And here comes Prabhupada, who's a grihastha outside. And in the Gaudiya Math, they didn't really respect grihasthas outside. They didn't respect grihasthas outside. They didn't have the standards that Prabhupada set for his grihasthas, who gave them a certain equality and status. And there, here he is. He winds up as this amazing thing, fulfilling the prediction of Lord Chaitanya, as mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Prithivichi Achiyati Nagarati Gram, that my name will be spread in every town and village. And before Prabhupada took Krishna consciousness around the world, people couldn't figure out what that meant. They couldn't figure out what it, you know, is it like, you know, some exaggeration or something? So Prabhupada's sitting in his room, and they can say, you know, how was I the lucky one? How was I the lucky one? Prabhupada was saying that to himself, thinking of this, all these people. And then Prabhupada humbly said, because I was 100% faithful to the order of my spiritual master. And we know that Prabhupada's inspiration for taking up that order, because you know that he met Bhakti Siddhanta. His friend took him to meet him when Bhakti Siddhanta was preaching in Calcutta. And Prabhupada challenged Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said, who will listen to us when we're still subjugated by the British? And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said that Krishna consciousness is so important that it cannot wait for any ecclesiastical, or I forgot the word, any type of change. And then he said, you're a young man, you should take up preaching in the Western countries because you speak English and you're educated. And Prabhupada a letter before Bhakti Siddhanta passed away. So Prabhupada hadn't taken it up initially, and then he read this purport in the Bhagavad Gita by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Vivisayatmika Buddha, aka Kuru Nandana. That one who's in Krishna consciousness, vivasayatmika buddhi, his intelligence is one-pointed. Ekaha kudananda, bahu shaka yanantascha. Those who are bahu shaka, many-branched, they can't take the Krishna consciousness. And in the purport, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, no. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, this means that one should take the order of one's spiritual master as one's life and soul. And Prabhupada did that. So it was his faith. I remember one time, and I've been in India, I believe it's 44 years or something, and always I've been there, but one year for some reason I was out and I was giving classes at 26 Second Avenue and, you know, taking the PATH train from Jersey to Fifth Avenue and then walking. And I was listening to tapes at that time, and Second Avenue was not a good neighborhood. So when Prabhupada was preaching, you hear all the sounds outside. And then Prabhupada said, why have I come to this place? Why have I come to this place? Why have I come to this place? And then if you would think, the place was not congruent with what Prabhupada's culture and desires, or at least the desires and culture an aristocratic Bengali Vaishnava at Prabhupada's age, where would he be? He'd be in Vrindavan. What was he doing on the Lower East Side? Why have I come? Probably because it was the order of my spiritual master. That faith is so powerful. That faith is so powerful. So that's Prabhupada's example. Now, there's a Srila Prabhupada tributes book, and I offered my Vyasa Puja offering to Prabhupada. And the theme I had is called the highest spiritual performance, that when you judge a performance, you judge it by two things. Like in gymnastics or diving in the Olympics I used to watch, by your performance, but you have to multiply it by the degree of difficulty. So I was making an argument that Prabhupada had the highest spiritual performance in the history of Vaishnavism, not just by why he did, but by the degree of difficulty. And I told two stories, and they're very charming stories. One was told to me by Nayana Baram, who joined at 26nd Avenue, who initially founded the Vaikuntha Players, the original drama group. And he told me this story that when he joined the Lower East Side, I think a friend of his also joined, but she was a militant man-hater. A militant man-hater. But anyway, she joined and she got initiated and she began chanting. After 6 months, she came to Prabhupada and she said, "Prabhupada, I've been chanting for 6 months, but I just can't stand that man, Krishna." Without losing a beat, Prabhupada said, "That's okay, we worship Radha." Then the other story was told to me by Satsarup Maharaj. And because he lives upstate, when we didn't have this quarantine, I could walk across street and take lunch with him and get the sangha of one of Prabhupada's stalwarts from the very beginning. Wow. The sacrifice these people made for Krishna consciousness, we can't even imagine. And Krishna notes it for sure. So there was a person who was running for president called Louis Abulafia. And his party was the Naked Party. And he had their slogan was, "We have nothing to hide." And one of the things they believe is that if you smoke banana peels, you can get high. So the devotees somehow would save the banana peels and give it to them. So they invited Prabhupada to speak at one of their functions. And Prabhupada walked in, and here all these people dressed like bananas, stoned out of their mind, dancing wildly. And some naked, something like that. Such a, I was telling me. And then Prabhupada, you know, spoke and then left. So afterwards, they were sitting with Prabhupada and someone who said to Prabhupada, "You know, he's only 31, you know, which is too young to be president. Otherwise, if he was the right age, you know, he would have ran for president." And Satsarup Maharaj said he never saw this before, that Prabhupada broke out laughing. It was like a belly laugh, you know, because Prabhupada was quite grave. I mean, he would smile, he would laugh, but uncontrollable laughter. And Satsarup Maharaj knew what he was thinking, you know, as if the age was the only lack of qualification this person had. And then, of course, there's the story that Prabhupada was rooming in a loft in the Bowery with some young guy that was taking LSD and went crazy, and then Prabhupada had to go out in the middle of the night. Most amazing thing that Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness like that. So I told the story that after Prabhupada disappeared, we'd have functions, and I would, at least sometimes I would be asked to invite some senior Vaishnava, so some great Vaishnav scholars. So I remember one Vaishnav scholar got up and said, if Rupa Goswami and Hari Das Thakur, and you know, and he listed all these people, and Prabhupada were in the same room, and Lord Chaitanya walked in, who would he go to first? And he said, I say Prabhupada. Because no one, you know, is more attached to spreading the holy name. And of course, I mean, this is what's called eulogy. After someone passes away, you know, you're allowed to exaggerate. But at the same sense, what I was thinking about, if you take what Prabhupada did and you multiplied it by the degree of difficulty of who he had to spread Krishna consciousness and who he started the movement with, and how many decisions he had to make in a detached way. There was no email. There was probably no phone. You know, and he managed a worldwide movement and just made one decision after another. And based on those decisions, the Krishna conscious movement is still going on after 40, more than 40 years after Prabhupada left. It's still going on by his dedication. Books are still going out. You know, the Temple of Vedic Planetarium is being built. Harinam parties are blossoming all over the world. Devotees are still inspired. So it's quite a performance that's still going on. Okay, we're going good. We can go longer. Just some remembrances I have of Prabhupada. Let's see here. Oh, too bad Jan's not here today. He's on the podcast, Jan Potemkin. Sometimes you see him. He was my friend, and we met the devotees in 1970 in the temple on Matsika Avenue, and we became kind of impressed and gradually got into Krishna consciousness. And then the next summer, we were both working for the summer, but we heard that Prabhupada was coming, and we took off and we hitchhiked. Where I grew up is probably 15, 20 minute car ride to JFK Airport. And in those days, you could do things like hitchhike without fear of your life or something. And we got to the airport, and the devotees from the Brooklyn Temple there, which was, because it had the press, it had all the most intelligent, talented devotees. And at that time, there was no TSA. You just walk right in the airport. So you can go practically, you know, right where the people get off from the plane and greet them. So waiting for Prabhupada to come off, and me and Jan went there, and all the devotees, and Bhavananda, who was actually a very dynamic leader, he got the devotees together, the beautiful.
Daddy.
Haribo, Raghunath. Okay.
Sorry, Maharaj. Sorry, Hare Krishna.
Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Okay, good. He got the devotees together and said that Prabhupada will come off soon. And you should not do a passionate kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. It should be very melodic. He said Prabhupada likes it melodic. Melodic. And then, you know, they began the kirtan, and it was that melody. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it was that very, very melodic chanting. And then, I don't know how it is, but, you know, like we're right there and somehow Prabhupada's, the plane, you know, the plane, it's a floor up and the passengers come down and there's that kirtan, all the devotees and, you know, beautiful with the robes and beautiful American boys and girls. And in between the chanting, there's Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prahari Krishna, Jai Prabhupada. It's very beautiful. And I'm just saying, my first impression of Prabhupada is I got the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and I was studying the 26 qualities of a pure devotee. And there was one quality called defenseless. And I'm joking, but not joking, because I'm from New York. I didn't really know what that term meant. What does offenseless mean? Couldn't figure out, what does this offenseless mean? And then when Prabhupada came down, he just waved gently. I thought, oh, that's offenseless. And Prabhupada got down. And then that night at the 11 o'clock news, there was a famous broadcaster, newscaster on Channel 11. At that time, there was only 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, and 13. Those were the only channels. So Channel 11, his name was Harry Reasoner. So that was coming up, but the devotees at the airport were on the newscast before that, and it was the whole thing about the devotees on the newscast, and then the newscaster, after he finished, and said, now, Hare Reasoner with the news. And then the next day in the New York Daily News, and that's before computer, you know, email, before the internet, it was the largest circulated daily newspaper in the world. There was 5 million copies that were bought a day. And their big thing was the centerfold, where all the pictures were. That was its feature. All the pictures were Prabhupada. Every single picture was Prabhupada. And I remember two of the captions. There's a famous song, about a river in Georgia. Georgia, not Russia, but Georgia, one of the states in America. And the river is named the Suwannee River. And there was a famous singer called Al Jolson, and he used to sing a song, Suwannee, Suwannee, how they love you, how they love you. So the caption was, Swami, Swami, how they love you. And then there was another long picture with Prabhupada walking and his aristocratic and surrounded by all his devotees. And the caption was, Asta Sata Sata Sri Srimad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Om Vishnu Pad, Paramahamsa, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. What a trip. So And then we would hitchhike to the Brooklyn Temple. Now, it won't go, well, this is also one of my favorite stories. Some of you heard it, but I could tell it again. It's in Vrindavan, and you know, my service literally was from 4:30 in the morning to 8:30 at night. So somehow I got this 15-minute, this half-hour break, and I was going out to Ramanreti. You don't know, but right near the temples in Ramanreti, and you just go on the Prikram path, and then you walk a little bit, you're in the white sands of Ramanreti. Now it's all built up, but it used to be, you know, beautiful, the whites. So I was walking out there, and I run into this person called Vishrambar Set. Now, Vishrambar Set was another generation from the devotees, more close to the age of Prabhupada than us. And he helped Prabhupada. He actually donated the land. He donated the land on the Gurukula. And he used to go even massage Prabhupada. And he used to tell me, he had a house. If you go to Vrindavan, it's when you head from the guest house to the Prikram path, his house would be on the right-hand side. It was a very beautiful house. And he used to let me stay on the roof when I wanted to get away. And you know, he even told me, he used to tell Prabhupada Hindi jokes. I don't know if you get it, but I'll tell it what it is. But it was something that Raghunath will get it. But a sadhu went to the spiritual world, you know, and then didn't want to go in because they didn't have Lipton tea and Britannica biscuits. And he said Prabhupada liked his joke. When I was going out there, he stopped me and he said, where are you going? I said, I'm taking a break. No, he said, go to Prabhupada's room. There's a magic show in Prabhupada's room. So I go in Prabhupada's room and I see, you know, Prabhupada's sitting behind his desk, and there's no bed there because that was brought down later. And there's all these white sheets, and I sit in the back, and there's a magician from the circus in Mathura. And evidently in the circus in Mathura, they train the bears to offer artik and pay obeisances, but that's another story. And he's doing these tricks on Prabhupada, and he's putting coins on Prabhupada's head and snapping his fingers, and the coins are disappearing, and asking Prabhupada to open his mouth. Prabhupada opens his mouth and the coins come out like it's a slot machine. And then he does the same thing and they come out his ears, and Prabhupada is laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. So I'm quite new to Krishna consciousness this time, and having that intellectual mind, you sometimes become literal and confused. So I'm thinking the pure devotee is above illusion. So how's this magic show happening? Something like that. It's a little uncomfortable. And then after about an hour of the magic show, Prabhupada turns to the magician and says, can you make old age disappear? No. He says, no. Can you make disease disappear? No. He said, can you make death disappear? He said, no. Prabhupada said, I can make them disappear. Therefore, I'm the real magician. And then there was a Jai Prabhupada. The magician was very humble, and they garlanded him. And so Prabhupada, that was really nice. Of course, that's when Prabhupada was healthy. And then, you know, he came there to leave the world many times. Well, I remember, you know, Prabhupada was very, very ill. He wasn't really talking much. It was very internal. And it was very, very internal. He was very, very sick. And they made a palanquin for Prabhupada. The first they made a rocking chair where they carved off the thing so two people could hold him. And Prabhupada would come out every day and there would be kirtan. It disrupted all the schedules, but it didn't matter, of course. And there'd be kirtan. And then Prabhupada would go and he would sit under the tamal tree and he would watch the Krishna Balaram deities. And then there would be a kirtan. And some of the Gurukul boys would dance and there'd be a kirtan. And Prabhupada would sit there very gravely. He had these designer glasses that was given by one of his disciples, Shruti Rupa, who was actually a daughter of a U.S. senator, Spotswood, Senator Spotswood, I think, something like that. And it gave it, so I was wearing these big pink designer glasses. He was very ill. And there was one Bengali devotee named Satchitananda, I think, who Prabhupada only have him chant, and it was angelic. Even if it was a broken madanga, when this person would chant. So Prabhupada wasn't speaking, he was very, very grave. And then one day, Prabhupada had the idea, not Prabhupada had the idea, Tamal Krishna Maharaj had the idea that if Prabhupada goes to the West to preach, he would gain his enthusiasm and maybe his health. But he first wanted to check Prabhupada's health. He thought he was getting better. So he called in this Gurukul boy. He was only 10 years old. And he was kind of like a mama's boy. He was actually overweight, but he was one of the best madanga players in the Krishna consciousness movement. Many people don't know this. His name was Markandeya. He was a phenomenal madanga player at the age of 10 years old. So Tamal Krishna called him and said, look, we're going to test today if Prabhupada is health. So if I see he's responding to the kirtan, I'm going to move my finger up and ask you to increase the volume, to watch me very carefully. So we go down and the kirtan's going and Tamal Krishna Maharaj goes like this and he just adds a little beat. And Prabhupada's like sitting there listening to kirtan. I don't know what Tamal Krishna Maharaj saw. Maybe Prabhupada went like this. And then he increased the beat a little bit. And then all of a sudden, the kirtan broke out into a wild kirtan with wampers. And I remember specifically, there was this one devotee from Tennessee who was an American football player in high school, like a defensive lineman or something, like a huge guy, Budi Manta. He started banging the wampers. And then the next thing we know, Prabhupada's headed to the West. And it was the disappearance day of Rupa Goswami at midnight. We were outside kirtan. There's no samadhi then. Prabhupada was waiting and they carried Prabhupada out. and they put him supine, laying on the back seat. That's how he was going to go to America, stopping in England. And then Vishwan Chand Set, who was related to this, that was Vishwambar. This is Vishwan Chand Set. That was, anyway, this Vishwan Chand was an MP, member of parliament. And he was familiar with Prabhupada. And he came there and he said, this is crazy. You can't let him go. You know, this is suicide. You can't let him go. Then Prabhupada went to the West like that. In that condition, he had already achieved Vrindavan, but he never made America. He had to come back. He came back to Mumbai, and then he came back by train. And the devotees picked him up in this Sankirtan vehicle. And I was waiting outside the gate in front of Prabhupada's room. And he walked in that gate, and Brahmananda was carrying Prabhupada like the passing of Haridas Thakur or the Pieta. You know, where your feet are dangled there, and then your bottom is here and your head is here. And then before Prabhupada came into the room, he turned to us. And he turned to us and he quoted from King Kulishekar, Krishna Twadiya Pada Pankaja Pankarajam Ayeva Me Vishatume Manasaraja. Let me die now when the swan of my mind is entangled with the lotus of your feet. Otherwise, how will I remember you? Actually, that's the last time Prabhupada came to Vrindavan, but I remember the first time he came to leave the world, he was in Rishikesh, recovering his health, and a storm came, and the shutters and his feet swelled up. He said, take me immediately to Vrindavan. And I woke up, and they said, Prabhupada's coming. And he called the devotees in his room. Now, there weren't that many devotees. That Prabhupada had the devotees advertise to fill up the guest house. Advertised that there was no one even in the guest house. We couldn't even fill our own guest house. Devotees were living in the guest house. That's where they were living. I remember one time Prabhupada came out of his room in the morning and I was there and there were 3-4 people there and Prabhupada said, where is everyone? And they said, Prabhupada, the devotee said, Prabhupada, they're serving. And Prabhupada said, wake them up. And then Prabhupada went right where the samadhi was. They were building the Gurukul at the time and they had the huts for the construction. And the head of the construction, I think, was this French devotee named Dwijavar, and they ran to wake him up. Can you imagine waking up and then, you know, Prabhupada right there. And then Prabhupada walked right out the front gate and walked down the road and went down to what's the Goshala now, which is called was called the Dapari House. And they woke up the devotees there. And I walked in with Prabhupada and some other devotees and they were sweeping and cleaning. So Prabhupada was, you know, somehow or other his potency, I don't know how he ran this. You know, people say the good old days, but we were all crazy. What Prabhupada had to do, what Prabhupada had to manage, and he had to do it in a detached way and depend on Krishna. It was amazing. So, So then, you know, Prabhupada was ill and he did something unprecedented because usually when you wanted to see Prabhupada, you had to go if you know where there is, they sell books in his room before and that wasn't there, that was just a porch. Then you go into another room, and that's where his secretary sat. and there was no door to the other room that goes out. That was the Punjab National Bank. So to get in, you'd have to pass Prabhupada's secretary, who was Tamal Krishna Maharaj. So obviously, it was not easy to get in unless you had some real, real you had some real business. You had some real business. But Prabhupada, he moved his bed downstairs in his darshan mandap, and he opened it up 24 hours a day to the devotees. Anyone could just go in Prabhupada's room and sit there. But Prabhupada was in such a state, he hadn't eaten for 6 months. There's no fat between the bones and the nerves. I remember it was like, I think, a week before Prabhupada left, and Bibi Govinda Swami said, "It's great, you got to go in there." I said, "How can I go in? My service starts at 4:30. He said, "You can go in any time." So I used to go in like at 2:30 or 3, and I'd sit there. There's no one else in there except Prabhupada's servant. And one day I just heard Prabhupada groan, "Hare Krishna." He was in pain. And then Bhavananda called me to help move Prabhupada's body to a more comfortable space. Like, it's not, the time is there, but I remember, it was being in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and that's what Tamal Krishnamurti said. The exchanges between Prabhupada and the devotees, and the devotees coming from all over the world to see Prabhupada in his exchange. This is before he really went down, but he was still in his bed. And I remember there was one preacher in Iran when the Shah was there called Pradivajakacharya. He's now one of the top 10 yoga teachers in the world, called Richard Freeman. He was a handsome American, and he started teaching yoga in Iran, and he actually at one time brought the daughter of the Shah of Iran to the Krishna Balaram Mandir. So when Prabhupada was ill, devotees were sending him things from all over the world, ice cream from New Vrindavan. It would stop in one thing and they repack it. And I think there was this wool thing made in Gita Nagari, and from Iran, they were bringing all their wonderful stuff for Prabhupada. And so he came in to see Prabhupada, and they told Prabhupada that he was preaching in the court of the Shah of Iran, who was the richest person in the world. And Prabhupada said, he said, "You are Raja Rishi." Raja Rishi means a saint who's a king. And then Prabhupada quoted from the Gita, "Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshyo viduhu." Pradyumna told me that this carrier. So Prabhupada was very pleased, and he was exchanging with devotees, and mystical things would happen. And I remember they had the first conference for the synthesis of science and religion. It was in the Gurukul. They used to have this big hall there. So the first conference for the synthesis of science and religion. And Prabhupada was really into it, even though he was so ill. He was really into it because he felt that the scientists were the modern day Brahmins, but they were misleading the people. So we have to establish that life comes from life. So after the conference, I was in the room, he called in the devotees, and he's not here now, but one was Brahmatirtha, Sadaputta. Actually, Madhava Maharaj, who actually lives probably somewhere in this same district that I'm living here right now in New Jersey, and Swarup Damodar, and Ganadas from Oxford, and there was all, they came in their suits, And Prabhupada said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, get them chairs. And they said, no, Prabhupada, we'll sit on the floor. Prabhupada's on his back. We'll sit on the floor. Prabhupada said, no, you're respectable scientists. So there were so many exchanges. Like that in the room with the devotees. And he kept on calling the leaders there, and they kept on coming and going back, and he kept on calling them there. He was very austere in Vrindavan, my God. At that time, you can't imagine. You know, the temperature in Vrindavan goes to, I'll say Fahrenheit. I would say like 45 centigrade and 117, 118. Fahrenheit was so hot. So it was very, but he kept on calling them. He understood why now. The only thing kept the Krishna consciousness movement going all these years, miraculously, was the love that people had for Prabhupada. And therefore he was instilling that in them with these exchanges that he was having with people. So then, you know, that whole drama with Prabhupada leaving and his sister coming, and she wanted to cook for him and he wasn't eating, but she cooked and he ate. It was, so many things were happening. Then Prabhupada had an Ayurvedic doctor, and I saw he was talking to Bhakti True Maharaj, and he had felt Prabhupada's pulse. He said he has about 7 hours left. And they called all the devotees in the room. Now imagine all the devotees could fit in that room. And the kirtaniers were sitting on Prabhupada's bed, chanting Hare Krishna. And if you're in a situation like this, the emotion and the intensity is so great that there is no call and response. It's just chanting. So I somehow was fortunate to be in the room, and the chanting was very, very intense. Actually, I believe the person chanting when Prabhupada left the world was Gauravani's father, Bhardwaj. And I think he had a harmonium and sitting on the bed. And what was amazing to me was the moment Prabhupada left was confirmed in everybody's heart. And I can only say my own image. My own image was, the initial image was glory. I couldn't even envision that there was a roof on the house. I can only see the stars in the sky. And, you know, dun, 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 glory. And then, you know, Prabhupada left. And I remember Bhakti True Swami behind Prabhupada with this angelic look and his hands like this. And then after that, all chaos broke loose, because who's in charge? I remember one god brother from Venezuela, Nilamani, just collapsed and fainted on the floor. And then, this is more like a disappearance thing, but they put Prabhupada and the Vyasas on, and all the Vaishnavas, the great Vaishnavas, came and did kirtan, etc. So, yeah, this is quite nice to be able to give some of the remembrances, actually. That's great. So would anybody like to share a reflection or any glorification they want?
Thank you, Maharaj, so much for this class. It's so beautiful. And you said that the reason it survives is because of Prabhupada's love that he put in people. So thank you for putting that love in us. Like his stories, every night I read a little bit of the Prabhupada right before I go to sleep, and the stories of his humility, and it's just so, so inspiring. And so I wonder, I'm so thankful that we have you to tell us firsthand about this. And I wonder about those who come after. So I'm just awash in gratitude that we hear these stories from you. Thank you.
Well, especially, I mean, there were people that were really with him, and like, you know, Jayadvaita Maharaj and Malati and some of those people. But yeah, we have to have a nice balance between the stories and the philosophy. You know, because, you know, Prabhupada's real legacy is the tattva, the stories, the philosophy. Well, thank you. Anybody else like to share something?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Itra Jaisvari.
Hare Krishna.
Such a wonderful memories. I really like when you said that Srila Prabhupada's interactions with others and all the way he preached was like from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And as well, what stuck with me was that the quality of his faith was made him successful.
Yeah. You know, what happened was, is that I think Prabhupada had a dream or something happened that this particular rare Ayurvedic medicine that had diamonds and so many things could cure him. And then I was in the room, and what happened is this devotee came in and he said, I was in Delhi and I met an old friend, and I asked where were you? I was with this Ramanuja Kaviraj, you know, like the white and the red. I was with this you know, Ayurvedic doctor. What did he look? Well, he's a cover, and well, he was making that medicine, you know, or something like that. And then he came in, and then that's when Tamal Krishnamaraj was sitting at Prabhupada's feet and just said, Prabhupada, this is like being in Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know, it was really Leela. There wasn't, you know, everything was centered around Prabhupada. I don't even know what the schedule was or something, and the loving exchanges and the drama. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Vijayashree.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Anybody else like to share reflection or even say hello? Okay. Anybody like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Guru Maharaj. It's Karuna Prana.
Okay, we'll speak on Friday. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, is Kaylee with you too?
No, she's not with me right now. She'll be joining me later.
Okay. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Haribo, Maharaj.
Haribo. Okay. Good. Thank you for being on there. Good. Okay.
Krishna Maharaj, it's Lisa.
Okay. Hari Bo.
Yes, I really enjoyed it. So many nice stories.
Thank you. Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Sudama.
Sudama. Yeah. How was the Janmashtami?
We are going to start in less than an hour. And thank you very much for the lecture you sent us.
Oh, you're going to have your Janmashtami. Oh, that's right. Right,
yes,
because
yes.
You're behind. Okay.
You want to do that one?
Wait, 1 second. Sudama?
Yes,
Sudama.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is right now, it's in the afternoon here, and we are going to start our program in less than an hour.
Okay, well, good luck.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, Raghunath.
Yes, Maharaj. Anuj Pranam. Hare Krishna.
You're in Vrindavan.
Yes, Maharaj, of course.
So it's going to have. Is it the evening there for Janmashtami?
Yes, Maharaj, today itself, just now.
Yeah, but no one can go to the temple, huh?
No, Maharaj. We found 22 positive cases in temple. So temple is completely sealed.
Did Mukunda? Who is sick? They said some of the priests.
Some of the priests, but not Mukunda Datta Prabhu. Some other priests. Some Bengali priests. They are sick. And so we are just
getting
back. Maharaj.
They didn't know. And then all of a sudden they tested. They found that so many people sick. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, Namaskar here.
Hi, Bo.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you, Gurudev.
Enjoy your Janmashtami. Okay.
Yeah, wish you were here.
Okay, well, I am. Yeah.
I think some people, they had some symptoms, but...
In our hearts.
Okay, Hare Bo. Anybody Hare else? Bo. Say hello.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Oh, Nityangi, okay. I hope you get a lot of Krishna Katha today.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Oh, okay. Okay, you'll celebrate your Janmashtami soon. Very good. Okay. Who else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Jai Kishori. Good.
Hare Bo.
Good.
Thank you. The classes were particularly sweet this week. Not that they aren't usually. They're particularly sweet this week.
Okay, well, take them in and become inspired. Anybody else?
Yeah, I was just thinking that despite never having been there, I was appreciating how much, it even felt a little sentimental to me who has never been there. You know, the difference between how you knew Vrindavan in those early days, like where Prabhupada was saying, compared to how it is now. You know, anyway, it's weird, but somehow I can kind of, you know, experience that sentimental thing through you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Gail. Good. A few more?
Hare Krishna, Gurudev.
Hare Bo, Hare Bo.
Thank you so much.
Good. Very nice. A few more?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Lal Govinda.
Hare Bo.
Hare Bo.
Okay.
Thank you for a great class.
Okay, Hare Bo. Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. It's Indira. Thank you
Indira,
so much.
Hare Krishna. Wow.
You look well. Are you eating? You look a little thinner.
I've lost about 20 pounds.
No way.
Yeah.
Were you trying to? Are you feeling okay?
I just eat differently. I'm not necessarily trying, but.
Well, you look great.
Oh, well.
You actually look good.
Okay, good, good. I have some kind of sickness, like something arthritic, but it's getting, it's substantially improving with this diet and the acupuncture and the herbs. So I'm quite functional now. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna,
Shri Rupa. Hare Bo, Shri Rupa. Hare Bo. Good. Who else?
Hare Bo Maharaj, it's Yamuna Bihari Das.
Hey, Yamuna, good to see you.
Thank you for the wonderful class and hope to see you soon.
We will. I think, you know, not too long. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Advaita.
Hey, Advaita, Hare Bo. See you this afternoon.
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay, one or two more.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Kishori Radha.
And Tota Gopinath. Jai Prabhupada.
Hare Bo, Jai Prabhupada. Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Oh, Sri Gandharvaka, Hari Bhav, Jai Prabhupada. A few more?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Sri Radhika Devi Das.
Who is it?
Hare Krishna Sri Radhika. I think the internet isn't good. Yeah,
okay, I see you now.
It was a sweet.
Hare Bhav.
Thank you.
Yeah, maybe the internet. Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you. Okay, we'll leave now. And we'll see you on Sunday. Hare Krishna. Enjoy your Janmashtamis or your Prabhupada's appearance day, depending on where in the world you are. Hare Krishna.